Good morning. Let's pray. You've already had a sneak preview of the first slide during the first song, and so thank you for staying even after reading it. That's good. It's a good start. I was tempted this week to start with one of those kind of comedy clips. I'm really thankful I didn't. Really could have put everyone off, so yay me. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for just Holy Spirit just moving in this place, being present with us. Thank you that, Lord, you are with us. You are mighty to save. Thank you that you take great delight in us, that you'd send your Son to die for us, even though we have weakness and mess up. That, Father, there is forgiveness and freedom in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that truth. Thank you that you want to speak, that you want to dwell in us, Father God, for us to grow in your name. And Lord Jesus, as we just come before you in word, I pray that you speak through me, despite my many weaknesses, that this be all about you, Father God, for your glory. Open our hearts and ears, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen, Jesus. We're continuing on in this season and series in Proverbs chapter 3. And there's only a three-part one. Devin led us in the first one fantastically last week in trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. And fantastic verse. And we move on now to verse 7 and 8. And this is a passage that, to be honest, it's not easy. It's one of those passages that you could really easily take it out of context. It's a passage, if you just read it out to somebody, it could potentially do more harm than good. It's a passage that says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Then next week's is actually going to be the next couple of verses, so you can even get a sneak preview of what I'm preaching on next week. But verse 7 and 8, read on their own, said to the wrong person at the wrong time, could do damage. Saying to someone who's struggling with their health, "Oh, well, you're just not shunning the Lord. You've not ran from evil." Potentially could not help a situation. Because when we go deeper into it, I mean, I've done enough funerals now of good people, of people who lived for Jesus, who maybe died young. I wasn't going to go to their family, "Oh yeah, that's why they were sick, is they didn't shun evil." We've done a baby funeral. What am I going to say to the family? "Oh yeah, that's why your baby died." Really? So we got to be able to think. God's given us those brains. And actually go, "God, what are we saying here? What can we grasp from this?" And so we're going to break it down a little bit. So starting with verse 7. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." What does that look like? To not be wise in your own eyes. It's basically saying, don't think too highly of yourself. Bring it down a notch. The passage is leading into it, talking about trust in the Lord with all that you are, basically. It's saying, he is God, you are not. You may think you're pretty good, and you may know it all, but actually, you don't. And so, you've got to humble yourself a little bit, which isn't always that easy. I shared yesterday a passage in at men's breakfast, and I'm going to use it again. I said to them that they were getting a little insight into the sermon, and so a few of them thought, great, this is a good opportunity to have a nap. I've heard the sermon, So if someone looks like they're going to fall asleep, give them a nudge and say, Don Strickland, wake up. Okay. Oh, it's me doing the clicking thing. Not anyway. Wake up, Johnny. All right. Romans 12 is kind of where I feel this passage really mirrors. And before you get to Romans 12, you get to Romans 11. Quick math there. And it starts, the end of chapter 11 is a doxology, this praise, this worship of how great God is. And just to give you what it says in Romans 11 at the end, it says, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and how his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of our Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Then we get to this. Therefore, as a response, because of that, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Again, this passage, just like Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, is the well-known part. The beginning of Romans verse 1 and 2 is that well-known part. Offer your lives as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test his will, his good, pleasing, perfect. We know that. And that's great. But it's interesting and important to first know the doxology, to say, God is mighty. Paul here is reminding them, God is awesome. He is all-knowing. We are not on a level terms with him. He is God, we are not. And then verse 3 is, so therefore, because of all this, is you need to humble yourself. You need to follow him. Anything that goes well in church or in life is praise to God rather than, well, look how good I am. Humble yourself. Because here's the thing, we've been praising, saying, and singing, Jesus, I want to know you. We want to praise you. We want to worship you. Well, here's the thing, if we are saying that as truth in our life, he has given us his word, he has given us the paths to follow, then we should humble ourselves and follow it. We should read his word and what he's teaching us. If we truly believe that he is God and he is mighty, then we need to look at his word and go, okay, then I need to put this in action. I need to see this as truth. We need to see that his ways are better than our ways. Or to say, as they say in Proverbs, to fear him or to respect him so much that we're going to shun what the world is teaching us. We're going to shun this evilness. We're going to shun my own desires, my flesh, and say, Jesus, I'm going to pursue you. And then we can look at it and go, okay, what does that look like? Even in simplest terms, when Jesus was stood there with the woman who was caught in adultery, once all those that were pointing the finger at her had left, he told her, go and what? Sin no more. I mean, that's just as blunt as it is. I am God, you are not. If you are taking me seriously, then you need to turn from what the world is saying you need to do. Turn from this evil, this sin, the selfishness, and go, Jesus, I want to pursue you. Sin no more. I think many of us would say there are many blessings that come from following Jesus. When we say that we've accepted Christ in our lives, I think many of us would say, wow, there is freedom in the name of Jesus. There is salvation. There is a hope that we don't fear death because we have life everlasting. And in this world, when it's difficult and trouble, he doesn't leave us to the other side. He says, I'm going to be with you by giving you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with you, to give you strength, to give you peace that's beyond understanding. Not just on a Sunday, but every day, every moment, I'm with you. There are so many things to go, yes, there are so many benefits and blessings to say, and I hope there is, that you're sat here this morning going, I can testify to that. I experienced that truth in my life. And so, why not also health benefits? If we are saying we are shunning evil, if we are saying, I'm going to follow Jesus, then let's give a couple examples. Say that you're somebody caught in addictions, maybe even substance abuse, and you come to Christ, and you feel this heavy burden on you to stop taking maybe the drugs, or maybe the abuse of alcohol. And you say, I'm going to give that up, or I'm going to be on a journey of giving that up, because I want to grow in Jesus. I'm reading my scriptures, and he teaches us to be holy. He's teaching us to have a temple in our bodies of that is holy and pure. He's teaching us to be of service and sacrifice, but I can't do that with the stuff I'm putting into me because it's not making me healthy. And so we give that up. And we experience the freedom. We experience this hope. We experience this comfort. I'm like, great. But then you obviously also experience a health benefit for not putting that stuff in your bodies. Stuff that God is saying, don't do, maybe convicting you, and you're going, okay, God, I want to stop doing that. Yes, to grow in my relationship with you, to not have this burden, but then there's also a response in your body of going, wow, I don't have that stuff in me anymore. I mean, we can look at a whole plethora. You can look at drinking. You look at smoking, those obvious ones. But even before I started preparing the sermon, as I was praying, I think it was on Monday in my own time, I really felt convicted of the stuff I eat. Because it's all easy to point fingers of some of the obvious stuff. But Scripture teaches clearly about greed. And I tell you, even like yesterday, the problem with having kids is, and they don't finish the whole food, is I'm sitting there, I'm like, sweet, you know. And I was good. I said, all right, Jen, we had burgers. I said, I won't have the bread. But by the time the kids had left and not finished their meals, I pretty much had three burgers. And I was sharing this with Jason and Tyler as we met in Fat Burger this week. It was a good time. And as I was eating, I'm like, oh, I did it again. Oh. You know, but I joke, but seriously, we're talking of, okay, being holy. We're talking of having that temple in us to be that vehicle for God to use to bless others, to be a light. I mean, let's use our vehicles as an example. I mean, you need your vehicle to get to work and all the rest of it. And say you break down, and AMA come and come to fix it. And they say, when was the last time you had a service? Oh, about 4 years ago. Well, do you not read the manual? I mean, do you not, like, listen to anyone's advice? Oh, no, I know best. I know my vehicle well. Oh, she was fine. Well, it's not now. And so, without digging too deep, we've already gone from a verse that, if you look at it just by the shallow end and going, ooh, that potentially could do danger, we're now going, okay, well, if we're seeing even the stuff we're putting into our bodies that is negative, then we can now straight away see, okay, if we're saying no to that stuff that is in the scriptures saying don't do, there's also a benefit in my relationship with God, but then also in my being. Let's go even a step further, not just about stuff that we're putting into our bodies. Let's just talk about sin in general. I mean, if you've ever kept a secret from someone, if you've ever kept a secret from your spouse, and I'm talking one of those big dark secrets, I'm talking about a secret in your life that is burdening of going, I can't believe I did that, or I just don't want them to know. Not only is that sin affecting your relationship with God, and you're kind of trying to get close to God, and there's this cloud, there's this fogginess, and it's because you're living this other life, you're living in sin, but also think about the effect on your body psychologically of having those secrets and stresses on your heart. It seems the holistic picture of actually the effect of sin. It's quite often we see it as, well, it's just between me and God. And yes, but there's also effect on your being. And so even, again, without going too deep, when we're starting to see, okay, what does shunning evil look like? And just basically means following Jesus and reading his word and his plan for us. And we're starting to understand, okay, I can see the effect that not only does that have on my relationship with Christ, but that has effect on me, but also my relationships with people. And that's not even digging too deep. We see how this is very, very relevant to us. And before I go on, I mean, we could go further into that, but I think the point's been made. And I want to say, whether your health is not in good shape because you can look back and go, oh yeah, I did this, did that, or I'm doing this, or I am still doing that. There is freedom in Christ. There is hope. And it comes from first saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. It's actually acknowledging what we're doing isn't of him. And that's a humbling thing. This is the don't be so proud in yourself. This is the don't think so highly of yourself. This is the do not be wise in your own eyes and going, yeah, if I'm honest with myself, I shouldn't be doing this. God, I'm sorry. And maybe you need to confess that to someone that you trust, that they can journey with you to keep you accountable. But to confess and say, Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry that I've not been following your ways. There is freedom. There is healing. I was partly tempted to kind of draw this part out because that's kind of a nice ending. But then I think I'd be missing a big area about those people that are here and maybe not with us as well, that are going through a real difficult time with their health, and they can't point it back to an action of sin. And quite often that's quite often the case. Maybe it's easier to go, yeah, I've got this condition because I did this, this, this. How do we respond to people when maybe they've been born with a condition, or maybe something's happened to them, maybe an accident, or maybe just ill health from different reasons, and it's like, I don't know where it came from. How do we deal with that? How do we talk about that? I mean, the portion of the scripture is still relevant because so often our response with anything, even not even regarding health, anything bad happens, too often in our minds, it's, why me? I'm a good person. This passage teaches us also of humbling ourselves. We're in a broken world. There's nowhere in the scripture that says once you become a Christian, you're now in a nice, pretty bubble and you will go through life with no troubles, no difficulties. That's a gospel that I don't see in here. That's a gospel you may hear on some TV shows, but I don't believe that's in here. Jesus died on a cross. The Savior of the world. There are people in this world being persecuted through faith. I'm not going to be preaching saying, well, God loves you, and if God loves you, then everything's going to go smoothly, and you're going to have no issue, and you're going to be rich, and all the rest of it. I'm not going to add something that's not there. So how do we respond? Because the danger is, sin can enter through this. Doubts come in. Jealousy comes in. You hear somebody else getting healed and not you, and you go, why them, not me? Maybe God doesn't care about me. And then we get angry and resentful of God. And do you not think that's what Satan wants? He wants us to be doubting the power of God, being bitter with him and bitter with other people. Then we're allowing this to get in the way of our relationship with him. Ultimately, we still need to be saying, you are God, you are mighty, and I put my faith in you. Here's the thing, though. I'd love to say I have a remedy. But what I have is scripture to share and some illustrations from scripture to share to maybe to help maybe where one or two of you may be at by pointing through at scripture. Because Jesus healed, but he rarely healed just for the sake of healing. He healed, but there was also a story. There was always a lesson. There was always a big picture from this. And it wasn't just for those then, it's for us today. And so I'm going to give you, just for a few moments, a few examples of Jesus' healing and some of the lessons that we can hopefully take from them. The first is the man that was born blind. When Jesus came to this man who was born blind, his disciples, they asked Jesus, what did this man sin? What did he do in sin to cause him being blind? And Jesus said to the disciples, he did not sin for this to happen. So straight away, we take away from how we can misread Proverbs, because Jesus himself is saying, in this instance, he didn't sin. But it's now for the Son of Man, and it's now for Jesus to be glorified. Jesus, for the light to be shone on, and this man to be healed. And if you've read that story, after being healed, then the Jewish community were all like, what's going on? What has he done? Is this the same person? There's opportunities for conversation that came from this. Now, this man was a grown man. There would have been times that he would have been frustrated. There would have been times that there would have been healing services and all sorts. And he would have probably heard other people being healed. Why not me? I think there's a lesson of patience. I think there's a lesson in that story of saying, God, this is about you, not me. And I'm going to trust in you in this. And when that happens, it's not going to be for my glory, it's going to be for your glory. Humble me, Lord. And then you've got the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, seen as unclean, spiritually and physically. Unclean. And the room was so full and busy, but she was so desperate for this touch. She was so desperate for this encounter with Jesus that she would even potentially be humiliated, because if people saw her or if people knew what she'd been going through, she potentially could have been humiliated and thrown out of that environment. But she risked it by going, I'm going to step out in faith in this. I've got nothing else to lose. She had to humble herself, even with other people knowing, and just to reach out, even just to touch that cloak of Christ, just to touch his clothing, just to experience freedom. She couldn't hide no more. And maybe we've been hiding what's going on. Maybe we put what they say, that church face on when we come in on a Sunday morning, or when you go home, or when you deal with your spouse or your kids. Inside, you may be hurting physically, emotionally, maybe mentally. The church has to do a lot better at educating itself on mental health. Maybe you've been battling this. And pride is saying, no, shush. Put that smile on and get in there. I tell you, if somebody walked in here with a bone sticking out of their leg, the first thing we wouldn't say is, well, oh, maybe you just need to trust God more. Maybe, you know, let's come around and pray for you. No, we'll be like, we need to take you to hospital right now. And whilst you're on the way to hospital, the rest of us are going to just gather together and pray. But you need to go to hospital. But when it comes to mental health, too often, it's like, oh, well, I'm sure tomorrow will be a nicer day. But here's the thing. If you have been battling with that in yourself for a long time, then maybe today is that day that you need to go, when we have the time of praying at the end with altar, is coming forward and praying and saying, you know what, enough is enough. I don't care maybe who knows. I mean, they may not even have to know, just many people can come forward. But maybe that time is saying, I can't just stay quiet with this anymore. I need Jesus to meet me in this. But then also, I want to say, there is no shame in seeking professional help with that. Because too often we do that. We see it as a weakness. Yes, absolutely, we pray. But then when people have operations, we go, thank you, Jesus, for creating men and women who can do surgeries. Because we're not being arrogant and going, oh, yeah, we're so good as humans. We're saying, God, you created that person, their brain, to be able to do that job of a surgery, or, you know, we have people going through chemo and the people that created all that stuff. And we go, thank you, Jesus, for those people. Well, why not also say, thank you, Jesus, for people who are gifted in understanding mental health? I think we need to do a lot better educating ourselves there. But this woman who's caught bleeding couldn't hide out anymore. She stepped out in faith and was met by Jesus and was healed. Life-changing. Then you got this paralyzed man. His friends heard about this healer. We talked about him a couple weeks ago. And so they took him to see Jesus. But what did Jesus do first when he met him? He said, your sins are forgiven. Then he healed him physically. This man, he needed to know the big picture first. Maybe too often, we're putting our faith into the flesh. If God is real, he would love me. He would heal me. This man had to first understand and acknowledge that God is God, he is not. And that he has been healed. But first, he got healed and cleansed of sin. So that when his earthly body had given up, that earthly healing wasn't wasted, but eternity was for him. And too often we put our faith based on flesh. Of that guy's 90, he's lived a rotten life, and yet he's healthy. I've been going to church my whole life, and I'm really struggling. We're going to look at the big picture of when our bodies give up, that there is life everlasting. And maybe for some, we just got to say, God, I just need to come before you. I'm sorry that I've been resenting you and doubting you. Father God, you have saved me, and I have life everlasting in your name. And then finally, if we're going, if Araceli, if you can press the next one, this guy's gone to sleep. There we go. And finally, we have when Jesus says, in this life, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Here's the issue here with the cross. Is too often we see this as a backup plan. We go, well, first we look at the healing of the flesh, then we do this and that. This is more than a backup plan. This is more than that awkward, well, we prayed for healing, it hasn't happened, so I guess, well, at least you got salvation. No, this is the first thing we turn to. Because through Jesus' death, there is life for all. Through the first fall of man, through Adam and Eve, entered evil. And through evil came suffering. And sickness and illness. That's still here. There is still trouble. There is still pain. There is still difficulty. But through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we now have hope and life and freedom in him. We got to realize that we're just part of his story. He's not just part of our story. We need to humble ourselves and say, God, I want to be part of your plan. I want to be part of what you have done. And I want to be in you. Maybe some of you have prayed and came forward once, twice, many times before. Maybe you've given up hope of being healed. Scripture teaches us to pray in Philippians, to pray without ceasing. I'm sure that man who was born blind had moments of going, well, it's just not happening for me. Maybe that today is the day that Jesus says, come. Maybe today is the day that Jesus says, you need to humble yourself. And maybe you've been preventing yourself coming forward when it comes to prayer because you don't want other people to see that you may have a weakness. Maybe today is the day where you go, do you know what, Jesus, I can't do this on my own anymore. Maybe it's from something that you've done or have doing. Or maybe you have no idea. But Jesus, I just need you. My one last story. My mum, you've not met her because she hasn't been able to come out due to her ill health. When she was a late teenager, got this disease that doctors said that she would not have any chance of having children. And they said the only thing to make you better is a hysterectomy. And she was like, no way. With her upbringing and stuff, she was like, I'm not going through that, because for her, she was telling me this week, reminding me that for her, at that stage, being a woman was giving birth. And so she was like, nope, I am not going through that. And she got worse and worse and sicker. Eventually got too much, and she signed up to have this hysterectomy. And the day before was church, and the church elder said, hey, let's pray with you. And they did. And even during that prayer, she says she felt just this almost like electricity going through her. And afterwards they said, I feel you're healed. And she said, no. But I feel at peace going through with this operation now. I feel at peace with going tomorrow, because I feel God is, if he is saying you're not to give birth and not to have children, then he will use me in other areas. Now, she went in the next day, and it's probably not a shock horror because I'm standing here, but she went in the next day, and they did open her up, and they were just amazed with how clean everything was in there. And she says, they may not write this anymore, but she says on her medical records, still says, miraculous healing, because the doctors were like, we have no idea. But she first, for her, it was, do you know what, God? I just feel at peace now with even going through with this, that you've created me to do whatever your will is. It's your story, not my story. In this life, you'll still have trouble. She's not able to get up and move around at this moment because she's ill, and we don't know, have no idea what's the matter with her. You know, and through Skype and through all these other things, I've gone through this stuff with her. I've said, Mom, is there something that maybe you've holding on to? And we prayed, and we're going through this, and still, we don't know. But you know what? She's like, I got Jesus with me. She goes, I feel close to Jesus. Yes, I don't understand. Yes, I'm devastated that I've not been able to come and see you and see the grandkids and stuff like this. But I know Jesus is with me, and I have life in him. And I have a hope that's in him. Are we going to just stop praying for healing? No. No. And maybe you're in that situation where you've been praying and you've been going through stuff. And so here's the thing with all these stories we looked at. They all end with healing, whether in the flesh or in eternity. There is healing. And that's only in the name of Jesus. And so we're going to have a time of response. And I'm going to invite the band to come up and to play a song. And I'm going to invite you to maybe this is the day that you say, I'm not going to hide from this no more. Jesus, I need a touch from you. Physically, emotionally, mentally, all. And so I invite you to come forward at the altar, or as many churches somehow always do, have front row empty. If you can't kneel, to even come to the front row and just sit. And I'd love to pray with you. And I've also invited a few people to be on ready to pray. You know, and if God moves in many and many come forward, then, and if you see someone kneeling or praying by themselves, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe that he can heal, if you believe that he has died and rose again, then you are a brother and sister in Christ. Pray with somebody. Father God, Jesus, we thank you for life in you. We thank you that you are God and we are not. We thank you that we can depend and trust on you. Humble us, Jesus, in our own eyes. We are sorry for being so arrogant and so proudful. And maybe the stuff that we're still doing, whether it's stuff we're putting into us, maybe it's just sinning and it's just affecting every aspect of life. Convict us, Father God, so that we grow in your name, because you are worthy of that, Jesus. Lord God, if there's suffering and there's pain, and maybe a loved one at home, Jesus, we ask that you just move. Lead us forward to respond, Jesus. A touch of you to grow in your name. We pray for healing. We pray also for the big picture to be revealed. Jesus, Father God, thank you, Father, that we are your children. Thank you. Let's sing this song of truth. And like I said, I invite you to come during the song and to kneel or to sit at the front and allow us to pray with you.